We are live.
Thank you. Okay, welcome everyone. I will call the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue to order, and we will start out with a roll call.
Senator Findley.
Senator Findley, present by video.
Senator Riley.
Present by video.
Senator Wagner.
Wagner is present by video.
Madam Chair Burdick.
Present by video.
I'm sorry, I missed Vice Chair Boquist.
Yes, ma'am. Senator Boquist, present by audio.
Very good.
Okay, well, let's get underway here. We will start out by opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 473.
Okay, good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Kyle Easton, Legislative Revenue Office. Senate Bill 473, it's a bill requiring the Department of Revenue to annually identify and notify personal income taxpayers that they are likely eligible for employment-related child care services that are administered by the Department of Human Services. And we do have a dash two amendment that is just making changes to the timing of when that notification would occur from the Department of Revenue to the taxpayers.
Okay, thank you. And we have the honor of Senator Taylor to be our first witness. So welcome, Senator Taylor.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, colleagues, members of the committee. Thank you for having me. I'm Kathleen Taylor, State Senator representing Senate District 21, Inner Southeast Portland, Milwaukee, and Oak Grove. I'm here today to ask for your support for Senate Bill 473. The accessibility of quality and affordable child care is essential for ensuring Oregon families can thrive, especially lower income families and those who have been historically marginalized. Throughout 2020, I participated in the Joint Task Force on Access to Quality, Affordable Child Care and learned about the critical role that the Department of Human Services Employment-Related Daycare, otherwise known as ERDC, plays in helping low-income families afford the cost of child care. However, the existence of programs such as ERDC does not mean that families know how to access them or even know if they exist. Lack of awareness has been identified as a key barrier for families accessing the ERDC program. Senate Bill 473 asks the Department of Revenue, in coordination with the Department of Human Services and the Early Learning Division, to notify eligible taxpayers when they qualify for the ERDC. This notification will ensure that information is reaching the families who need the program most. I've been working with both the Department of Revenue and the Department of Human Services to make sure that the language in the bill enables both agencies to work collaboratively to implement this notification process. And I just want to take a moment to thank both of those agencies for working so openly with me for a solution to this problem. The Dash 2 amendment before you reflects minor changes that will support the successful administration of this process. These agencies are here today to further describe the ERDC program and answer any questions you may have. There is still much work to do with Oregon's child care system to ensure that child care is available and affordable for all, but fully utilize the program we already have is an important place to start. Therefore, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, I urge your support for Senate Bill 473. I've asked Senator Lieber to join me with this bill. This is a subject area I know she's hopefully going to be able to attend later. Like Mr. Alanek said, she's triple booked. So in case something happens in my initial conversations when she started the Senate, she's very interested in child care. I think I can say that for her on her behalf. And she very much is in support of this. And hopefully she'll be able to come testify. And she has joined. Added her name to the bill as well, Senator Burdick and Vice Chair Boquist. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there questions from the committee? I see no questions. So we will call Chloe Becker.
Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. For the record, my name is Chloe Becker. I'm here today on behalf of Family Forward Oregon, an organization that organizes mothers and caregivers and is committed to changing systems to better support both care and caregivers. Thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony in support of Senate Bill 473, which, as Senator Taylor described and you heard from the committee, directs the Department of Revenue to both identify and notify taxpayers eligible for the ERDC program. Access to high-quality, affordable childcare has long been a crisis in our state, with every county across Oregon being a childcare desert for at least one age group. And the COVID-19 pandemic has only further exacerbated this crisis. Family Forward Oregon, in coalition with many other community organizations, parents, and caregivers across the state, as well as many of you and your colleagues, is committed to building back a better childcare system that works for everyone. As we undergo this work, it's vital that we examine our current processes. During 2020, Family Forward was one of many organizations that came together with Senator Taylor and Representative Power as a part of the Joint Task Force on Access to Quality, Affordable Childcare. In these discussions, the task force examined barriers to accessing ERDC in Oregon, the first of which is just a general lack of awareness by parents that the program exists. In tandem with the rollout of the One Eligibility System, the notification requirements outlined in Senate Bill 473 will help bridge this awareness gap for parents. Other bills currently before the legislature, such as House Bill 2503 and 3073, examine both the inner workings of ERDC and Oregon's governance structure for all childcare and early learning programs. While we're committed to working alongside all of you on these larger reforms, we urge this committee to move forward with this common sense notification requirement to ensure that parents are aware of and are able to apply for ERDC. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Marjorie Taylor and Ben Gill from the Oregon Department of Revenue. We'll start with Marjorie, unless you want to start with Mr. Gill. Marjorie? No.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Marjorie Taylor, the Legislative Director for the Department of Revenue, and with me is Ben Gilley, and we would like to acknowledge the partnership we've had with Senator Taylor to work on the Dash 1 and the Dash 2 amendments and appreciate her flexibility in that. The Dash 2 will allow us to identify the best population that we can communicate with and also allow us to use the addresses that are available on those taxpayers' returns to share the information with the eligible participants who might be eligible for those programs. And again, look forward to sharing this information with those taxpayers so that they can access this program. And also look forward to partnering with the Department of Human Services to ensure that we aren't duplicating efforts and that we can eliminate some of those potential taxpayers who are already accessing the programs. And Ben Gilley is with me, who can also help out and describe the calendar dates and why they're most effective in identifying the population that we need to reach. Thank you.
Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee. I wanted to speak to the amendments originally.
Hold on, Mr. Gill. I unfortunately had my mute on, and Senator Finley had a question.
Oh, my apologies.
No worries. Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just curious for Ms. Taylor, how many current employment related tax credits are there, and how many Oregonians will qualify for this? It sounds like a great program. I'd just like to know more about it.
Chair Burdick and Senator Finley, I'm sorry I don't have the answer to that question, but I believe that we had estimated for this particular program, it was around possibly 50,000 possible participants. I think Ben has a better idea about that, but I could certainly get back to the committee with that information.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Oh, thank you. So please forgive me, Mr. Gilley. Continue on with your testimony.
Okay. My apologies. I did see the hand raised there. So Madam Chair, members of the committee, I just wanted to add the amendments were necessary in order for us to be able to use the most current information available. So by the original dates were to identify by December, and at that point in time, we're still receiving employment data from the Department of Employment. And so we don't get fourth quarter data until right now, real time, February, and then that will give us some time to load it into our system and makes it usable then by March. And then within a month period, working with DHS and other partners, then that would allow us then to narrow it down to those participants that meet the qualifications and are not already taking advantage of the benefit, and then we can then send direct notification to those potential participants.
Okay, is your computer system set up to do this kind of work?
So, Madam Chair, members of the committee, it would require just a little bit of programming. And so we do have robust information systems. And so we looked at the initial requirements on the program. And through that, we were able to determine how many would have met that. And I think that's where that 50,000 comes in. Again, that was a raw number. Until we match it with the data from the Department of Human Services to find out who's already actually taking advantage of the program, then this will, that number we believe will go down. But yeah, it would be fairly simple programming on our part to be able to identify.
And do you anticipate that you'll need additional staff to do this work?
Yes, Chair Burdick, we think that if the level of work, we wouldn't require too many additional, we could absorb it within existing resources. It would be a fairly automated process. And so that's why we wouldn't need additional staff at this time.
Okay. Senator Boquist, do you have a question?
Yes, ma'am. I'm following up on your question because you were ahead of me. Could DOR, you know, I mean, do you envision emailing them? Do you envision dropping a flyer in certain mail pieces to go out there? I mean, I think it's an exceptionally good idea. I'm always slightly fearful, as you hinted at, when the fiscal comes in about positions, costs, and so on and so forth. So how do you sort of envision reaching out to these people once you've identified them on the computer?
Marjorie, do you want to take that one?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senator Boquist, thank you for that question. As we were working with Senator Taylor, our vision was A, to identify the population that we would communicate with, and then also work with the Department of Human Services on the message that we would need to share. And ideally, it would be kind of a one sheet of paper sort of communication that we would mail to those eligible taxpayers. We wouldn't be sharing that electronically by email because we wouldn't have the email addresses for all of those potential participants. But at this time, we would have their last known address on their tax filing. So again, it's most important that we develop the right message with the Department of Human Services so that we can direct the potential participants to information that will be helpful with them in accessing that program.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Senator Boquist?
So my follow-up, Madam Chair, is the fiscal would be minimal, is what you're saying.
Madam Chair and Senator Boquist, yes. As we were estimating the potential cost of this, it was really around mailing. And as Mr. Gilley has acknowledged, the important piece is to identify the people who are currently participating in the program so we can eliminate them from the list of potential participants based on their tax returns.
Okay, and we have also signed up as a resource to answer questions, Nasha Patel from the Oregon Department of Human Resources. Nasha, why don't you introduce yourself? And if you want to say anything, you can say it now, but people will know you're there to answer questions. Do we have Nasha here? Hope I said the name right. He testifying for Dan Hahn. Okay. All right, we have also present, we have Senator Lieber, who is broken away from her many commitments this afternoon. So welcome, Senator Lieber.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and colleagues. I was only triple booked, so I thought that was pretty great. Thank you for the opportunity to speak about this important piece of legislation, Senate Bill 473. For the record, my name is Kate Lieber. I am a senator from Senate District 14. I was happy to co-chief sponsor this with Senator Taylor. I'm sure Senator Taylor and the advocates of this bill have already explained how the bill works, so I'll just briefly share to you why I think it's so important. Childcare makes all of the sectors of our economy function. Without ready access to affordable child care, families are forced to make incredibly difficult decisions. Parents, but usually mothers, may be forced to drop out of the workforce. And we know that's happening, especially in this time of COVID. The National Women's Law Center approximates that 865,000 women ages 20 and over have dropped out of the workforce since September. In the 2020 report of the Oregon's Task Force on Affordable Childcare, it found that childcare is prohibitively costly for most families. Oregon relies more heavily on parental funding and less on public financing than many other states. And in Oregon, 70% of childcare is financed through parents. There are many who need help with the cost of childcare, but only 11% of the families who are eligible for federally subsidized childcare actually receive support. Even if those families do receive it, a public subsidy, they cannot afford to pay the copay. But despite this overwhelming need, Oregon has had a surplus in their remaining ERDC program due to under-enrollment. Senate Bill 473 is meant to address this by making more parents aware of the program and their potential eligibility. We're hopefully we will close that gap. This is not going to address the many issues facing Oregon families, like the childcare deserts that exist in every one of our 36 counties, or the underinvestment in the childcare workforce, but it will help Oregon make better use of the tools we already have in our toolbox. So, Senate Bill 473 is an important step in addressing the childcare affordability in Oregon, and I urge that you support it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Do we have questions for Senator Lieber? Okay, thank you. And I see that Mr. Hahn has joined us in the lobby. So, Mr. Hahn, why don't you introduce yourself and go ahead.
Great. Senator Burdick, thank you. Vice Chair Boquist, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dan Hahn, and I'm the director of the Self-Sufficiency Program at the Oregon Department of Human Services. And one of the programs we oversee is the employment-related daycare program. So I did send to OLIS kind of a presentation, if you will, of employment-related daycare and kind of how it works. Didn't know if you guys wanted to go over that today or for me just to be available to answer questions.
Do we have questions? I think our questions for this bill were pretty well addressed by the Department of Revenue, but I may be wrong. So please, committee members, if anybody has a question for Mr. Hahn, now's the time. Okay, thank you, but stick around. One may come up. Okay, next we have Troy Duker. Mr. Duker, are you here in the lobby? I'm looking, I'm not seeing anything. Okay, well, we will, I just got confirmation from the real technical people that he's not there. So we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 473. Thank you, everyone. And we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 101.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 101 modifies the eligibility requirements and amounts for educational grants available to National Guard, Oregon National Guard members. And there is a dash one that adds some language that in part would allow the commission to adjust grant amounts. And then you have somebody from the military department and the higher education coordinating committee to speak to the bill.
All right, thank you. Dave Stuckey signed up.
Yes, ma'am, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee. I'm Dave Stuckey, I'm the deputy director of the Oregon Military Department, and happy to be here today to address Senate Bill 101 and to the Finance and Revenue Committee. Also, virtually today, we have a member of the program administration from a higher ed coordination council or commission, Bob Small. The Oregon Military Department supports Senate Bill 101 and the Dash 1 Amendment, and we're asking for your support. We developed the bill and the Dash 1 Amendment jointly with our partners at the Higher Ed Coordination Commission and the leadership of the Oregon Guard. By way of some background, the Student Tuition Assistance Program, or STA as we call it, was established in HEC in 2017. And since the time of this program's origination, HEC has issued over $1.1 million in student tuition assistance as to 679 service members of the Oregon National Guard. The goal of this program was to really bring into line what the rest of the nation was already doing. And at the time this program was established, there were only Guam and Oregon were not offering some type of higher education opportunity for Oregon National Guard service members. And so we're thankful to the 2017 legislative session for doing that. Fast forward to 2019, in House Bill 2817, this program was expanded to include private universities and OHSU for our service members. Since the inception of this program, the Student Tuition Assistance Program has been an absolute success to the members of the Oregon National Guard. Multiple studies, depending upon which one you're looking at, either top three or top one, education is always the main reason for joining the military. And in this particular case, it has been a boon to our recruiting and retention efforts for the Oregon National Guard. This base bill addresses three things. This base bill addresses adding fees, universal fees, adding a book allowance, and then addressing this first pay concept. And so books and fees are fairly simple and straightforward. The first pay concept, if I could dive into that just a little bit deeper. First pay was designed, and this student tuition assistance was designed to pay after all other federal components and grants were paid for, which include Department of Education grants. What we're asking for in this change is that the Department of Education grants, like Pell grants, are not considered in order to join the student tuition assistance. The United States Army has a federal tuition assistance program. We must still, and it does not change in this base bill, the fact that we want our service members to go federal tuition assistance first through the United States Army and the National Guard, the Army National Guard, before they enter into student tuition assistance. The second component regarding the Senate, the Dash 1, and this was requested from our partners at HEC, which really gives them that equity and flexibility necessary with the higher, with the HEC Commission in order to adjudicate or address the costs that go to the members that apply for this grant. So I'd like to just close my testimony by saying this has become really, really important to our citizen service members of the Oregon National Guard. This past in 2020 and 2021 has certainly been a historic year for a great many things. Our Oregon National Guard deployed over 1,500 service members to countries in Asia and Europe, as well as almost 1,900 service members in Oregon supporting anything from pandemics to flu to, correction, fire to Oregon Employment Department vaccination support, 211, and now Marin County and Clackamas County in support of the snow and ice and the vulnerable population. So what we're asking for is support to help broaden this out a little bit and also to give HEC some ability to flexibly manage the funding that's available. So with that, I'd like to close and say we're asking for your support for Senate Bill 101 and the Dash 1, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Well, thank you, and thank you for bringing this bill. You know, it just seems to me that in the last few years, the burdens and responsibilities we've put on our National Guard have gone up exponentially. Just not even overseas, but domestically, and you know, with everything from the wildfires to, you know, the situation in Texas, National Guard are just all over the place, and it's really important to support them. in any way we can.
Thank you, Chair Burdick. We very much appreciated the service members. They look forward to this type of missions that help support citizens of the state of Oregon. And so it's an easy mission for us. They certainly have to balance competing demands between their civilian job and the Guard. But when the state calls, we want those Oregon Guard members to be out there and helping support us. And so we take great pride in that, ma'am.
Well, and I think the better educated they are as they do their work, the better off we all are.
Yes, ma'am.
Are there questions from the committee? Okay, thank you very much. Our next witness is Bob Small from the Higher Education Coordinating Committee. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, members of the committee. My name is Bob Small, and I am the Senior Policy Advisor for the Office of Student Access Completion with the Higher Education Coordinating Commission. I'm also the Program Administrator for the Oregon National Guard State Tuition Assistance, or ONGSTA as we abbreviate it, the grant program. Thank you for the opportunity today to testify on Senate Bill 101. I'd like to thank my colleague, Mr. Dave Stuckey with the Oregon Military Department for summarizing the ONGSTA program and how this program has been successful for our National Guard members. If I may, I would like to summarize the awarding process under the current awarding structure. In my written testimony, I had submitted a chart that kind of gives a visual effect over some of the numbers that I'll be presenting. So what we're doing is reviewing the last 2020 fall term ONGSTA award data. Last fall, $234,998 was awarded to 203 Oregon Army or National Guard members. Of those 203 members, 81 of those members had an expected family contribution, or EFC, which is a calculation used by the Federal Department of Education calculating award amounts. So of those first batch, their EFC was $3,500 or less, which is an estimated $47,000 adjusted gross income as a comparison. So, and that made up 19% of the total award amount dispersed. The next group is in the EFC range of $3,501 to $10,000, where we had 46 recipients. And of those recipients, the amount is 22% of all the recipients receiving award money and 25% of the total award. Next, we have the group that falls within the 10,001 EFC range, which is roughly $80,000 and above AGI, where we had 76 recipients. Is 37% of the overall recipients, and they received 55% of the award amount. So this data example illustrates how Oregon National Guard members who are higher income earners who may not be eligible for other federal and state grants receive the maximum amount of ONGSTA funds allowed, while the Oregon National Guard members who are considered higher need and lower income earners receive a greater amount of federal and other state grants, which is then applied toward their tuition balance prior to ONGSTA being awarded. With other grants being applied to tuition first, Oregon National Guard members may get little or no ONGSTA funding to assist with other costs of attendance, such as food, housing, transportation, and child care. And this creates that equity disparity regarding those Oregon National Guard members who are in a lower income category. With the passage of Senate Bill 101 and the -1 Amendment, the restructuring of how funds are awarded for the program would provide a higher level of equity for all Oregon National Guard members participating in the program. Applying program funding after the Department of Defense Federal Tuition Assistance, as Mr. Stuckey outlined, but before Pell and other state grants, provides that extra financial aid support for lower income Oregon National Guard members. Additionally, with the restructure of the program offering payment for certain fees and book stipend, this additional support will help remove the often stressful barriers such as food, housing, transportation, and those other costs of attendance, as I mentioned. I would also like to highlight that there may be a need for additional funding investment to the program to provide adequate financial aid support to the program to be effectively as described in the bill. However, the -1 amendment would allow the HEC to adjust the award amounts to qualify students based on EFC amounts similar to other state aid programs which we administer at OSAC. This would allow the HEC to administer the programs and modify within the appropriate, within available appropriations. This concludes my testimony, and I would gladly invite any questions.
Thank you. Are there questions of Mr. Small. I see no questions, so thank you very much. Looks like we, I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 101, and it looks like we are through with our business. Is that correct, Chris?
That is correct, Madam Chair.
Okay, so thank you, committee, and thank you, witnesses, and we are adjourned.
If I could, Madam Chair, just real quick, just a reminder that tomorrow there is no Senate Finance meeting at 1 o'clock, but the committee is invited to join House Revenue at 3:15 for the revenue forecast. And you all should have gotten an invite to that meeting.
Thank you for the reminder. And we really struggled on how to arrange this, because it turns out that many of the House members had conflicts at our time. And so we had, our staff was very good about calling around, and we should all be there. I would encourage all the committee members to be there at 3:15. And thank you for reminding me, Chris. We shouldn't adjourn without that reminder. So with that, we are really adjourned. Thank you.